One hot day in western Texas, a traveler stopped at a small store to buy a soft drink. As he wiped the sweat from his face, he asked an old fellow sitting on the porch, "When's the last time you got any rain here?" The old man thought for a little bit and then said, "Well, you remember in the Bible when we're told it rained 40 days and 40 nights?" "Sure," the traveler replied. "I know the story of Noah." "Well," the old man continued, "we got about an inch." Well, that old man is old, but not that old. For when it rained 40 days and nights, there was an unimaginably far more rain than just 1 inch. Actually, before Noah and family entered the ark, it had never rained on the earth before. The Bible says that all life on earth was watered by gentle springs that sprang up from the ground itself. But when God's judgment as a worldwide flood began, he opened the gates to the waters underground, and water literally gushed out all over the earth like torrential tsunamis that came up out of nowhere, bursting out of dry ground all over. They created lakes which became oceans, which covered the land, submerging the entire globe with cleansing water. And so nearly everything perished in judgment. Sad. But with what God knew, it was absolutely necessary. Folks, we are far closer to the return of Lord Jesus than the disciples and Paul and Timothy and their contemporaries were. That's self-evident. What may not be so obvious to our modern, endlessly distracted minds is that the Lord's return is imminent. It literally could happen any day. Because the Lord said in several places, including in today's Luke 17:26, the same things that happened in the days of Noah will take place in the days of the Son of Man. Which means that the conditions that existed in Noah's day will be replicated on earth just before the days that begin Lord Jesus' direct rule and reign on earth. None of this should surprise. If we're paying the bare minimum attention to what's going on around us in the world, then we've all noticed that things are unstable, changing, shifting, swiftly transforming from what was, and for us, from what once seemed so stable and permanent. But the Bible, God's Word, wrote down for us thousands of years in advance what we're going through, what we need to be on the lookout for, so that we'll be prepared for the secret day that the Lord returns. The prophet Daniel was given visions of our day, as was Moses, and more recently, John the Apostle, which he wrote down in his letters in great depth in the book of Revelation. Read it. Perhaps the most salient observation from Daniel is this well-known statement written in Daniel 12:4, as spoken to him by the angel Gabriel. "But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase." What does that one sentence say? The angel's instructions to beloved Daniel is to keep the prophetic words secret, that is, unable to be understood until the time of the end. How is Daniel to do that? How can he suddenly open the book when the end times arrive? He can't. But God can. For what we have in Daniel and in other end times prophecies is that they can't be properly understood until certain future conditions are met, namely the near approach of the end times. And the people living in those times, and only them, will be living in the context which allows them, those who search the scriptures, to suddenly understand what is being said. Unlike all the many who in previous ages have tried to figure out what was being spoken of. That verse describes the end as a time when, many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Consider rushing here and there. The fastest anyone can rush anywhere a good distance away is obviously by flying. In Daniel's day, the fastest anyone could travel would be by fast horses. They don't quite compare to air travel. In our modern day, at any given moment, approximately 1 million people are airborne around the world. 1 million people are suspended in the air every minute of every day, which works out to approximately 5 billion people traveling by air per year. Granted, many of those 5 billion are the same people going on different trips. But still, that's a whole lot of people rushing here and there. Gabriel also mentioned a second sign of the end times. Knowledge will increase. Anyone who hasn't buried their head in the sand knows that the sum total of the world's knowledge has literally been multiplying exponentially for years now. And now with the advent of AI, artificial intelligence, and its ability to compare and contrast huge amounts of data in milliseconds and see patterns, draw conclusions, invent new solutions, and create new concepts, it's unprecedented. No human being, no matter how intelligent, even with photographic memories, can begin to compare to the sheer computing power of today's rapidly advancing AI systems. If we thought things were changing too fast last year, just wait until next year. This year will be eclipsed as so primitive. We'll have ever greater trouble trying to stay even a tiny bit current in approaching our constantly upgrading society. Clearly, Holy Spirit has left us with no alternative but to acknowledge that we are definitely in the time of the end. And Lord Jesus told us that things would be like the days of Noah before the flood. So what was happening then that we need to look out for? Genesis 6 tells us, in brief, that there were giants on the earth in those days. Giants? Like Paul Bunyan? Well, maybe not wearing overalls, but giant humanoids and monsters were prowling the earth. What Genesis so briefly but unmistakably mentions is fleshed out in some other ancient books, many of which are included in the Ethiopian Holy Bible. One in particular, the Book of Enoch, describes in much greater detail what Moses in Genesis 6 so briefly states. Lending more credibility to the words of the Book of Enoch is the fact that both the apostles Peter and James, Jacob, quote from it. It tells us that when God created mankind, he sent watcher angels to help Adam and Eve and their descendants, just like all angels are supposed to do even now. As Hebrews 1 states, they are ministering spirits sent to help us live according to God's ways. Well, a few of those watchers found human women beautiful and decided that they would band together and purposefully rebel against God's commands. Hoping they might get away with it, they began to abduct women and in some way, shape, or fashion had relations with them, and through some kind of genetic DNA manipulation were able to procreate new angel-human hybrids. For angels cannot procreate. They are different than humans. We are blessed by God in ways they aren't, which didn't sit well with those that rebelled. Well, the hybrid offspring were giants. In later ages, they grew ever more violent and began massacring human beings. At this early stage, the rebel angels had so mangled the human genetic code that pure humans were nearly extinct. The world was populated with defiled humans and hybrid giants with corrupted DNA, such that God's prophesied Savior in Genesis 3 would become impossible to produce, as no 100% human woman would be left for whenever the Savior was to be born from woman. But righteous Noah and his family were the only ones left. And so God sent the flood to cleanse the earth and start over, as it were, with Noah. Nevertheless, despite the flood, somehow a tiny remnant of the giant survived, possibly only a couple, but they would reproduce and wreak havoc on humanity in the centuries following. Many congregated in Canaan, what is now the Holy Land, which is why the Lord commanded Joshua and the Israelites to completely exterminate the inhabitants of that land after the Hebrews were freed from slavery in Egypt. God loves all, but those who willingly allowed themselves to be polluted can never be saved. This kind of genetic manipulation marked Noah's time. Why, it's going on again. Russia, China have been feverishly working on creating super soldiers. Quite likely America too. People are trying to play God, replace God. So God has to intervene, just as he always knew he would. He is coming back. First he comes back in the air and calls his church up to meet him in the rapture. We will be saved from the black days of the great tribulation. But at the end of that soon coming 7-year nightmare, when most of humanity will die, we will accompany Lord Jesus as he comes back and sets foot on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem. And all war will suddenly stop. All Israel's enemies will be instantly destroyed. Even now, they are lining up in the United Nations. Can't you see it? The glorious millennial reign of Christ Jesus will commence. The earth will be cleaned up, truly reset. What a glorious time that will be. And we'll be here to administer the Lord's government. So folks, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus the King. Don't be fooled by anyone who downplays Lord Jesus or claims to be him. For he is the center and the source of everything. Without him, we perish. With him, we live forever. So don't ever let go of him. Never. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you did on the cross to restore all of creation by your tremendous act, unimaginable act. You accomplished it all and have saved us as well. Help us to keep hold of you and never stray from your words, from your commands, from your path. For your name and for your glory we pray. Amen.